Day 426, Friday, May 31st. 2 Kings 10, 2 Kings 11 1-3, 2 Chronicles 22 7-12, 2 Kings 9 14-37, 2 Kings 10 1-36 NKJV. Now Ahab had 70 sons in Samaria. And Jehu wrote and sent letters to Samaria, to the rulers of Jezreel, to the elders, and to those who reared Ahab's sons, saying, Now as soon as this letter comes to you, since your master's sons are with you, and you have chariots and horses, a fortified city also, and weapons, choose the best qualified of your master's sons, set him on his father's throne, and fight for your master's house. But they were exceedingly afraid, and said, Look, two kings could not stand up to him. How then can we stand? And he who was in charge of the house, and he who was in charge of the city, the elders also, and those who reared the sons, sent to Jehu, saying, We are your servants, we will do all you tell us, but we will not make anyone king. Do what is good in your sight. Then he wrote a second letter to them, saying, If you are for me and will obey my voice, take the heads of the men, your master's sons, and come to me at Jezreel by this time tomorrow. Now the king's sons, 70 persons, were with the great men of the city, who were rearing them. So it was, when the letter came to them, that they took the king's sons and slaughtered 70 persons, put their heads in baskets and sent them to him at Jezreel. Then a messenger came and told him, saying, They have brought the heads of the king's sons. And he said, Lay them in two heaps at the entrance of the gate until morning. So it was, in the morning, that he went out and stood, and said to all the people, You are righteous. Indeed I conspired against my master and killed him. But who killed all these? Know now that nothing shall fall to the earth of the word of the Lord which the Lord spoke concerning the house of Ahab, for the Lord has done what he spoke by his servant Elijah. So Jehu killed all who remained of the house of Ahab in Jezreel, and all his great men and his close acquaintances and his priests, until he left him none remaining. And he arose and departed and went to Samaria. On the way, at Beth-Eked of the shepherds, Jehu met with the brothers of Ahaziah king of Judah, and said, Who are you? So they answered, We are the brothers of Ahaziah. We have come down to greet the sons of the king and the sons of the queen mother. And he said, Take them alive. So they took them alive, and killed them at the well of Beth-Eked, 42 men, and he left none of them. Now when he departed from there, he met Jehonadab the son of Rechab, coming to meet him, and he greeted him and said to him, Is your heart right, as my heart is toward your heart? And Jehonadab answered, It is. Jehu said, If it is, give me your hand. So he gave him his hand, and he took him up to him into the chariot. Then he said, Come with me, and see my zeal for the Lord. So they had him ride in his chariot. And when he came to Samaria, he killed all who remained to Ahab in Samaria, till he had destroyed them, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke to Elijah. Then Jehu gathered all the people together, and said to them, Ahab served Baal a little, Jehu will serve him much. Now therefore, call to me all the prophets of Baal, all his servants, and all his priests. Let no one be missing, for I have a great sacrifice for Baal. Whoever is missing shall not live. But Jehu acted deceptively, with the intent of destroying the worshippers of Baal. And Jehu said, Proclaim a solemn assembly for Baal. So they proclaimed it. Then Jehu sent throughout all Israel, and all the worshippers of Baal came, so that there was not a man left who did not come. So they came into the temple of Baal, and the temple of Baal was full from one end to the other. And he said to the one in charge of the wardrobe, Bring out vestments for all the worshippers of Baal. So he brought out vestments for them. Then Jehu and Jehonadab the son of Rechab went into the temple of Baal, and said to the worshippers of Baal, Search and see that no servants of the Lord are here with you, but only the worshippers of Baal. So they went in to offer sacrifices and burnt offerings. Now Jehu had appointed for himself 80 men on the outside, and had said, "If any of the men whom I have brought into your hands escapes, whoever lets him escape, it shall be his life for the life of the other." Now it happened, as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, that Jehu said to the guard and to the captains, "Go in and kill them, let no one come out." And they killed them with the edge of the sword. Then the guards and the officers threw them out, and went into the inner room of the temple of Baal. And they brought the sacred pillars out of the temple of Baal and burned them. Then they broke down the sacred pillar of Baal, and tore down the temple of Baal and made it a refuse dump to this day. Thus Jehu destroyed Baal from Israel. However, Jehu did not turn away from the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin, that is, from the golden calves that were at Bethel and Dan. And the Lord said to Jehu, "Because you have done well in doing what is right in my sight, and have done to the house of Ahab all that was in my heart, your sons shall sit on the throne of Israel to the fourth generation." But Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord God of Israel with all his heart, for he did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, who had made Israel sin. In those days the Lord began to cut off parts of Israel, and Hazael conquered them and all the territory of Israel from the Jordan eastward, all the land of Gilead, Gad, Reuben, and Manasseh, from Aroer, which is by the river Arnon, including Gilead and Bashan. Now the rest of the acts of Jehu, all that he did, and all his might, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? So Jehu rested with his fathers, and they buried him in Samaria. Then Jehoahaz his son reigned in his place. And the period that Jehu reigned over Israel in Samaria was 28 years. 2 Kings 11 1-3 NKJV. When Athaliah the mother of Ahaziah saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the royal heirs. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash the son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from among the king's sons who were being murdered, and they hid him and his nurse in the bedroom, from Athaliah, so that he was not killed. So he was hidden with her in the house of the Lord for 6 years, while Athaliah reigned over the land. 2 Chronicles 22:7-12 NKJV. His going to Joram was God's occasion for Ahaziah's downfall. For when he arrived, he went out with Jehoram against Jehu the son of Nimshi, whom the Lord had anointed to cut off the house of Ahab. And it happened, when Jehu was executing judgment on the house of Ahab, and found the princes of Judah and the sons of Ahaziah's brothers who served Ahaziah, that he killed them. Then he searched for Ahaziah, and they caught him. He was hiding in Samaria, and brought him to Jehu. When they had killed him, they buried him, because, they said, "He is the son of Jehoshaphat, who sought the Lord with all his heart." So the house of Ahaziah had no one to assume power over the kingdom. Now when Athaliah the mother of Ahaziah saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the royal heirs of the house of Judah. But Jehoshabeath, the daughter of the king, took Joash the son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from among the king's sons who were being murdered, and put him in his nurse in a bedroom. So Jehoshabeath, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah so that she did not kill him. And he was hidden with them in the house of God for 6 years, while Athaliah reigned over the land. 2 Kings 9:14-37 NKJV. So Jehu the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, conspired against Joram. Now Joram had been defending Ramoth Gilead, he and all Israel, against Hazael king of Syria. But King Joram had returned to Jezreel to recover from the wounds which the Syrians had inflicted on him when he fought with Hazael king of Syria. And Jehu said, "If you are so minded, let no one leave or escape from the city to go and tell it in Jezreel." So Jehu rode in a chariot and went to Jezreel, for Huram was laid up there, and Ahaziah king of Judah had come down to see Huram. Now a watchman stood on the tower in Jezreel, and he saw the company of Jehu as he came, and said, I see a company of men. And Huram said, Get a horseman and send him to meet them, and let him say, Is it peace? So the horseman went to meet him, and said, Thus says the king, Is it peace? And Jehu said, What have you to do with peace? Turn around and follow me. So the watchman reported, saying, The messenger went to them, but is not coming back. Then he sent out a second horseman who came to them, and said, Thus says the king, Is it peace? And Jehu answered, What have you to do with peace? Turn around and follow me. So the watchman reported, saying, He went up to them and is not coming back, and the driving is like the driving of Jehu the son of Nimshi, for he drives furiously. Then Huram said, Make ready, and his chariot was made ready. Then Huram king of Israel and Ahaziah king of Judah went out, each in his chariot, and they went out to meet Jehu, and met him on the property of Naboth the Jezreelite. Now it happened, when Huram saw Jehu, that he said, Is it peace, Jehu? So he answered, What peace, as long as the harlotries of your mother Jezebel and her witchcraft are so many? Then Huram turned around and fled, and said to Ahaziah, Treachery, Ahaziah. Now Jehu drew his bow with full strength and shot Jehoram between his arms, and the arrow came out at his heart, and he sank down in his chariot. Then Jehu said to Bidkar his captain, Pick him up, and throw him into the tract of the field of Naboth the Jezreelite. For remember, when you and I were riding together behind Ahab his father, that the Lord laid this burden upon him. Surely I saw yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his sons, says the Lord, and I will repay you in this plot, says the Lord. Now therefore, take and throw him on the plot of ground, according to the word of the Lord. But when Ahaziah king of Judah saw this, he fled by the road to Beth-Hagan. So Jehu pursued him, and said, Shoot him also in the chariot. And they shot him at the ascent of Gur, which is by Ibleam. Then he fled to Megiddo, and died there. And his servants carried him in the chariot to Jerusalem, and buried him in his tomb with his fathers in the city of David. In the 11th year of Huram the son of Ahab, Ahaziah had become king over Judah. Now when Jehu had come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she put paint on her eyes and adorned her head, and looked through a window. Then, as Jehu entered at the gate, she said, Is it peace, Zimri, murderer of your master? And he looked up at the window, and said, Who is on my side? Who? So two or three eunuchs looked out at him. Then he said, Throw her down. So they threw her down, and some of her blood spattered on the wall and on the horses, and he trampled her underfoot. And when he had gone in, he ate and drank. Then he said, Go now, see to this accursed woman, and bury her, for she was a king's daughter. So they went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Therefore they came back and told him. And he said, This is the word of the Lord, which he spoke by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, On the plot of ground at Jezreel dogs shall eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the corpse of Jezebel shall be as refuse on the surface of the field, in the plot at Jezreel, so that they shall not say, Here lies Jezebel. Daily Deep Dive, the UCG reading plan states, Jehu over Israel. Jehu begins his bloody deed of wiping out the house of Ahab, pursuant to Elisha's prophecy. 70 of Ahab's sons lived in Samaria, 2 Kings 10:1. When Jehu threatens the city, the elders slaughter the sons and deliver their heads in baskets to Jehu in Jezreel, verses 2-8. Jehu then proceeds to kill everyone remaining from the house of Ahab, verse 11, 17. He also kills the brothers of the late king Ahaziah of Judah, 2 Kings 10 12-14, as well as all the priests of Baal, verses 18-28. As we saw earlier, he was eradicating the line of Ahab even across national boundaries. Jehu, however, was by no means a righteous ruler. Although he seemed to understand that he was an instrument in God's hands, carrying out God's vengeance on the house of Ahab and destroying Baal from Israel, verse 28, he himself did not obey God in other matters. Verse 29, while God rewarded him for what he did do in accordance with his will, verse 30, this does not mean that Jehu lived a life pleasing to God. The Nelson Study Bible comments, Jehu's merciless purge of the official Baal priesthood was a major step in eradicating evil from the northern kingdom. However, the purge only brought Israel back to the syncretism established by Jeroboam I and his successors. God rewarded Jehu with a reign of 28 years, the longest of any northern king so far, and allowed his sons to rule Israel for 4 more generations, the longest dynasty in Israel's history. Jehu had an opportunity to be one of the greatest kings, but he did not follow God's law completely. He did not stop the worship of the golden calves left at Dan and Bethel. While not as overt as during the time of Ahab, the slide to Baal worship in Israel continued even after Jehu's purge of the worshippers of Baal. Tragically, Jehu did not take the opportunity to lead the Israelites back to complete obedience of God's law. Rather, we read, Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord God of Israel with all his heart, for he did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, who had made Israel sin. Verse 31. This example shows that not everyone used by God for a specific purpose must also be a truly repentant believer. This story also shows the tragic continuing negative heritage of Jeroboam I, whose disobedience and false religion set a pattern of habit and tradition for the nation and its kings from which it was very difficult to break free. Repeatedly throughout the history of Israel's kings, we read the phrase, "the sins of Jeroboam, who made Israel to sin." Seeing his great potential, God had offered him a dynasty like that of David, 1 Kings 11:38. But, like Lucifer, Jeroboam chose to use his wonderful talent for evil instead of for good. Athaliah over Judah. After Ahaziah, king of Judah, had been killed by Jehu, Ahaziah's mother Athaliah tried to kill all the royal heirs so that she could reign over the land. Here we see another woman of power corrupting herself with the lust for greater influence. However, Ahaziah's sister, Jehosheba, saved Ahaziah's son Joash, or Yehoash, from death and hid him for 6 years. 2 Kings 11:1-3, 2 Chronicles 22:10-12. Jehosheba, also called Jehoshabeath, was the wife of Jehoiada the priest. Her courageous character is a refreshing contrast to the evil queen. Ironically, Athaliah's actions further purged the Davidic family of Ahab's corrupt lineage. But Joash would survive to reign, as we will see. Yet Joash was himself of Ahab's lineage, being the son of Athaliah's son, King Ahaziah. So why did God allow him to survive? To understand, we must consider the problem with Ahab's lineage in Judah. Remember that after Jehoshaphat's son Jehoram married Ahab's daughter Athaliah, this evil and idolatrous woman became mother and grandmother to many Davidic princes and princesses. Thus the line of Ahab became widely diffused throughout the Jewish royal family. Being queen, mother and grandmother to these other royals enabled her to have a great and corrupting influence on them. This wide diffusion with its accompanying corruption was the real problem. That is why these people needed to go. And through the purges carried out by Jehu and Athaliah herself, all of these corrupt individuals were wiped out. No longer was Ahab's idolatrous lineage widely diffused throughout the family of David. Only one line of descent from Ahab would be allowed to continue, that of Joash, who as a baby was removed from any corrupting influence of other relatives of Ahab's lineage, particularly Athaliah. Jehu kills Joram, Ahaziah and Jezebel. While Ahaziah was visiting the injured Joram in Jezreel, where he was recuperating, Jehu and his men pressed furiously toward the city. Joram and Ahaziah went out to meet him on the property of Naboth, whose vineyard Ahab and Jezebel had stolen by murdering him. 1 Kings 21:1-16. Jehu killed Joram and had Ahaziah, who tried to escape, tracked down, brought back and killed as well. 2 Kings 9:24-27. 2 Chronicles 22:9. Jehu also killed the princes of Judah. Verse 8. At first it may seem like Jehu was going overboard in killing the king of Judah and the royal princes there. But it should be remembered that King Ahaziah of Judah was the grandson of Ahab. Athaliah, the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, had contaminated the royal family of David with Ahab's lineage and idolatrous influence, and Jehu was being used to destroy it in Judah as well as in Israel. When Jezebel heard that Jehu had come to Jezreel, she put paint on her eyes and adorned her head, obviously with the intent of seducing him. 2 Kings 9:30. But Jehu did not fall for it, and Jeremiah and Ezekiel prophesied that Israel and Judah's future enemies would not fall for such conduct either. Jeremiah 4:30, Ezekiel 23:40, though in the latter case the enemies do go ahead and have improper relations with them, taking advantage of their willingness. Verse 44. Some believe that these passages prohibit Christians from using makeup. Although the use of makeup clearly would be wrong if used for an improper purpose, these passages do not condemn its use in general. Note that it says, figuratively, in Ezekiel 23:40 that Israel and Judah adorned themselves with ornaments, painted their eyes, and washed themselves for them, i.e., powerful men they sent for. Obviously, there is nothing wrong with washing, we are supposed to do that. The problem is that the use of jewelry and makeup and the washing were being done for them, that is, with the intent of seduction. Israel, like Jezebel, was prostituting herself to buy favor with a conqueror. The motive is condemned here, not the mere act of washing, nor the act of wearing jewelry or applying cosmetics. Note also that even today, ancient Egypt remains famous for its use of cosmetics. Even the lower classes in Egypt wore makeup, both men and women. And yet God says nothing at all about makeup in the extremely detailed statutes he gave when Israel left Egypt. Jehu ordered those in the palace who decided to follow him at this point to throw Jezebel down from the wall, and some of her blood spattered on the wall and on the horses, and he trampled her underfoot. Later, when they wanted to bury her, they found only her skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. 2 Kings 9:33. 35. Jehu realized that Elisha's prophecy regarding Jezebel had been fulfilled precisely. Verses 36 to 37. 1 Kings 21:23-24. Although this punishment might sound cruel, let's not forget the Bible's evaluation of Ahab and Jezebel's deeds and character. But there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord, because Jezebel his wife stirred him up. Verse 25. Jezebel was so evil that Christ uses her name to symbolize spiritual corruption. See Revelation 2:20. Remember also that she had mercilessly slaughtered God's prophets. 1 Kings 18:3-4. Now their blood was being avenged. 2 Kings 9:7. We should always be mindful of the fact that God will repay the wicked. See Deuteronomy 7:9-10. And 2 Kings 10, verse 32. You'll remember that Elisha had foretold this in 2 Kings 8:12. Elisha wept at seeing what would happen by the hand of Hazael.